Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nessler. Writ Large comes to Carbondale tomorrow at True Nature, beginning at 6 p.m. Writ Large is a storytelling series featuring six people from our community, and we're fortunate to have with us Alya Howe, who curates the series. Welcome back, Alya.
Thank you, Luke.
And we have two of the storytellers involved with us, Genevieve Villamizar. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Genevieve, do you prefer Genevieve?
Genevieve or Gigi?
Gigi. And Patrick Curry's here, too. Hi, Patrick.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to KDNK.
Thank you for having us.
You're so welcome. Thank you for joining us. The first Down Valley Writ Large.
So exciting.
Yeah, is it?
It really is. These stories are stellar. I have the privilege of hearing the stories from inception through rehearsals into the live performance. And these stories touch my heart. And I am amazed each time I hear them, how they live again, they live deeper. The storytellers really tap into, why is this story important to me right now? What does it have to teach me? Why did it get chosen? And as they live into their story with courage, with vulnerability, it is just the most generous aspect of being a curator that I have ever experienced.
Wow, I guess the privilege of a curator is to hear a story numerous times. Unfortunately,
yes.
The audience can't say that. So they're good.
These are really great stories.
Huh.
And they are repeat stories. We have had this series running for 3 years up in Aspen. And for the first Writ Large at True Nature, I decided to have the luxury of hearing the stories again. And wow, they have grown and deepened, which makes me think that this idea of cultivating a performing arts circuit up and down our valley into the local mountain villages is really important, because these stories deserve being heard. They're powerful. They'll touch you. They'll shake you. They'll inspire you. I highly recommend coming and listening.
Huh. Also tomorrow night at the Wheeler, right?
No, Monday at the Wheeler night. And a slightly different lineup.
Oh, okay.
Two storytellers will drop out and two other storytellers will come along on in.
And over at the True Nature, is it outdoors in the little garden?
No, it's going to be upstairs in the upstairs studio in preparation for hopefully moving down into the Kiva, because the community is just going to hunger for more of these storytelling events.
I can't think of a better place for stories than a Kiva.
Yeah.
Huh. That's why they were invented, I think.
Exactly. Well, partly, for sure. Absolutely. Well, passing down the wisdom. Huh. Is that what you're going to be doing, Patrick Curry, passing some wisdom along?
Yeah, that's my specialty. I'm in charge of wisdom. And, you know, the others kind of bring ignorance forward and come to some transformation. I start wise and put that out, and then everybody goes home a little wiser. That's my job.
Okay. Huh.
And
it's
I lie
a
lot. As you'll hear in my story, I lie. And I lie a lot, and I just lied right there.
Well, I was going to say it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. So tell me about your story.
It's a story about my mother, my mother's relationship with me and growing up with my mother, and then ushering her into another phase of her life and ushering myself into another phase of her life as her Alzheimer's progressed.
Oh.
And it's, I am moved just thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, each time I go through it, as well coached by our coach here to my left, it's a brand new story. It's a brand new moment, because it's a story for me today. Mm-hmm. And of course, what we all aspire to or hope for, I would imagine, is the story relates to what people are doing, thinking every day. And so it's not simply a confessional on my part or some kind of a biography. It's really a, here's what happened, and do you kind of understand what happened? And having that connection.
I noticed you used the past tense.
With what?
It happened.
The story?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it's very past tense.
Okay.
And how has this experience in getting ready for Writ Large been different from your first time doing Writ Large?
Profoundly different. The first time through, I'm comfortable speaking in front of groups, and I've done it in business functions, and it's scripted, memorized, delivered. And I would say my first time I told a story was more along the lines of me being prepared to deliver. And the transition this time, thanks to listening to the group and how moving they all are as people, I jump some kind of a bridge or a fence or something, and I'm back in the story. So it's not being told. It's from my memory, but it's being told very much in the present, which is a brand new experience for me.
Is that part of this process, is memorizing it? This is...
Yes, you speak without notes.
Yeah. Huh.
It's a true story, so it... You shouldn't really have to cheat because it's your story. And so as long as it happened, it's fair game.
How much room do you have to improvise?
As much as you would like. As Alia said in our last, there'll be things that come out in this telling of the story. And I've told this story 30, 40, 50 times to friends. And the last time I told it, I said things I'd never said before. I had observations I didn't have before. So it is not... It might only be 5 or 10%. It's pretty much on point because the story is meant to construct and flow. However, what the different instances, the reflections, a moment in time, remembering that it was the light shone in my eyes at a moment when this happened, if that happened, is all brand new each time.
Hmm. Gigi, tell me about your story, if you would, please.
First of all, I don't have disco lights. Is this mic working? Is it working?
Yes.
Okay. All right. My story. The last time I told it in Aspen, I was so terrified that I was pacing in the alley for probably half an hour, and I had all these little notes because there was no way that I could remember all of the details that I was trying to put in there so that I could really frame the story for people. And then eventually I got so nervous that I was tripping over my notes and myself that I just... almost in tears, I set them to the side and I just started talking from my heart. And I could see the whole room relax and I relaxed and the story just came out. And the reason why it was so hard to tell the story is because it's a subject that nobody really likes to talk about. You know, you bring it up in a room full of people and the faces shut down and there's an incredible sense of, first of all, rejection. You know, and then there's that whole lack of validation for a significant part of your life. In this storytelling, though, I stayed the course then, and I'm excited to stay the course on Saturday and take everybody in the audience on a journey with me. And I'm really excited to see them move through it with me and to see the emotions on their face change radically from how I start my story to where I finish my story. And in the end, I know that I have them captured, and I know that they care, and I know that they have been moved immensely. And so, yeah, that's my story experience. I don't want to give details away.
Of the story, of course. Yeah, yeah, but what a great tease. That's great. That is perfect. How about that?
Well done, Gigi.
And there's a huge difference, Luke, between memorizing a story and just trying to regurgitate it, forgetting and remembering some lines. And we do that early on in the writing out of the story and just getting its form put into a flow with a beginning, a middle, and an end. But then once the paper's put down, which is in our two rehearsals, then it's, you know, the story. How can you relive it? What do you remember about it? What do you remember differently each time so that when you come through the story that has been consciously chosen or randomly came to mind, when you go through it, that you're actually enabling yourself to live and feel it. And the storytellers do this. I am amazed because we're not professional storytellers. And everyone rises up and offers their courage, their vulnerability, what they notice then, maybe reflections on what they're feeling now from their perspective. And the audience are hungry for authenticity and courage because it invites them to be courageous too. And we all want to play big in our lives, not play small. And every storyteller steps up there really big. Huh. And I lost my thread just thinking with such pride and admiration about what you have offered up in those last two rehearsals. I can't wait for Saturday.
Can I speak to what the experience might be for someone in the audience? Because as a storyteller, we also sit in the audience, and as in our rehearsals, we see each other go through this process as well. And I'm going to use you as an example, Pat. I have known Pat indirectly through business and networking and such for probably about 3 years now. And he and I friended each other on Facebook. And I've gotten to know aspects of Pat through Facebook that I never would have gotten to know on the street or talking business. And then through writ large, I mean, Pat's a big guy. He's very successful. He's very charming and witty. And I've always seen him as this larger than life kind of person that I look up to quite a bit, which I know you're not supposed to do. But when he gets up there and he tells his story, you know, I got to see such a different part of you, and you felt more human to me after that. And I loved you even more after your story than I did before your story. And, you know, we think we know everybody in Carbondale, but how well do we know each other? You know, and this platform writ large really helps us to get inside of each other. And that's a beautiful thing.
The stories invite you just to listen. You don't have to prepare an answer. You don't have to get ready to relate it to something in your life. You can actually just sit still and listen with a wide open eyes. I know your heart will be blasted open in the experience. And your community becomes bigger. Everyone who has come through writ large, when I see them in the street now, they're huge. Just huge.
Did you experience that kind of transformation, Patrick?
Most definitely. Every time someone says most definitely, I say, I'm never saying most definitely, ever.
Again.
And I just said it my first time on radio in 3 years. Well, most definitely, Luke. The first go at this, I thought I had a story to tell, and I was going to show up and tell the story. And then there are six other people, and Alia as a producer, and watching people melt into their stories and realizing this was an experience. I'm a hobbyist at best. And to feel six other people commit, and all you, the way all you coaches us is really in the process of becoming a performer, and watching people melt into their stories and transform themselves in their own stories, starting off rambling with different offshoots and things that were important to them, and then coming back around to what's important in this story and making it flow. And so the rehearsal and the getting to know the team was and is really the most profound experience, to watch transformations in others firsthand. And then delivering and having fun with the community when you tell the story is a different kind of experience. But it's working with all you, working with Gigi, and the others. That's the experience. That's where I'm deeply touched, watching the effort and the thought, and then going back and reliving that part of their lives with them over again and watching it come into focus. It's amazing experience.
It sounds to me like there are two parts to this process, the writing of the story and the telling of it.
Well said.
Is that true?
I wouldn't say the writing. I would give it three parts, the writing, the deciding, and just the graft behind the story. But the juicy process is when we come together. And even though we're only together in person two times, I also am on the phone or meeting additionally as many times as the storytellers want from their first rehearsal until performance date. But the process is so enriching. And then the performance is the icing on the cake.
Oh, huh. And the rehearsal sounds like a real collaborative process, not just between Alia and the storytellers, but among the storytellers.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're helping each other. We're sharing our observations. It's a very gentle critique with each other.
Huh. And the since we're the object of the story at that point, we're perfectly well positioned to give feedback because we're an audience. And they're saying, I did this, I did that. And we'll say, well, that seemed to be of greater consequence to you than this one, this thing was. And he goes, yeah, I never thought it that way. So we're the ideal audience because we're living through the story right at that moment.
Hmm. Wow.
It is a wow.
It is. I can see that. And you've given a really good sense of that just now. It never even occurred to me, this process of rehearsal. I didn't realize it was such a collaborative thing.
And in my first experience with Alia, I didn't either. And I came to the first rehearsal kind of cavalier. I ran a little late. I sat down. I thought, la-di-da. And within a minute, I realized I'm in on something that's incredible. And that was just a wake-up call. And I never forget how cavalier I felt walking in and then how humbled I was at all of the stories and the people and their experiences leaving the experience. So it was, and Alia, again, is an incredible coach. I mean, between what you hear about her from her other productions and dancers and all those kind of things, I understand it. I get it. And it's been, the gift is maybe the fourth part of the gift is to have a professional coach, director, producer working with you. That's also an amazing experience.
Well, the audience closes the loop, doesn't it?
That's well said.
So that's another part, part five. How about that?
The story grows.
There we go. So you're growing stories. You're growing stories through the telling and through the sharing. Huh. Interesting.
And I think, as Gigi said, growing the community, because seeing six people interact with 20, 30, 40, 50, and then having those 20 or 30, 45 of them come up and say, I had that experience, and here's what happened to me. Everyone begins telling their story more safely after the performances, because there'll be somebody there that relates to Gigi's story. I had that happen to me. Oh, yeah. Thank you for saying that. I'm going to go tell someone my story that I couldn't tell to anybody before because I was afraid. But thank you for that.
It sounds like maybe the transformative part of things ripples into your life in so many ways. Am I right about that, Gigi? Afterward.
Absolutely. Yeah. From my first experience in Aspen, I've made probably two or three deep friendships out of it. And at this point, I'm in the process of considering joining the First and Third Fridays memoir writing group at the Glenwood Library. If one tiny story can affect people that much, think of all the stories you have in your life and the impact that those stories could have on so many people. It almost becomes like a responsibility, especially when it's, you know, something that has to do with the subject of my story. So, yeah.
Patrick, have you found that it's colored your relationships with people?
I had I wouldn't say a profound way, a breakthrough with this last time I told a story. It was really the first time I lived the story. And it's a story about childhood and mother and family. And I wanted to call my therapist that night. I feel like I went back. I needed to go back into therapy because my mother became so real again. And everything that happened with all my mother and in terms of the story and our lives, I spent the whole rest of the day in some state of, whoa, of remembering and reliving. So I had very much, after last Wednesday, a profound experience of experiencing my childhood again in my life with my mother and seeing it differently, as the storytellers said, well, that's a story about you and your mom doing this thing. I went, I never saw it as that. They said it's a love story, and I saw it as really not that. And it was. I went home loving my mother.
Huh.
You know, without giving too much away, but that was very profoundly moving. And I remain moved. All right, now, oh, yeah, I've been rehearsing a story, and since I did it once, I said, I'm never going to do it that well again.
And I hope that every time the stories are shared, that they're different, that we, the mind so likes to be in control and to prepare itself and organize it, the how the event is going to be. But I actually really coach, say thank you to your mind, take a pause, and let the story tell you. And we've all experienced times when we're recounting something and it comes through so incredibly eloquently, and you know, because it was coming through faster than the stream of mind, thought, consciousness, control, that something else was helping organize those words to be so incredibly clear. And every now and again, we're lucky enough to step into that stream.
You know, it's interesting, Patrick, you mentioned the word therapy, because this sounds like group therapy a little bit, with the addition of the audience as part of that equation.
Well, if the point of therapy is to understand and know yourself better and get a clearer picture of what really happened in the world, that's exactly what this is. And if I could say what happened, I have a clearer picture of what went on in my home than I have ever had before. I had all kinds of clouds running around about what I thought happened, and so very much that way. It had a profound emotional impact, and it was like therapy in itself.
But it is not a therapeutic model.
Right. That's pretty obvious
to
me.
No, not at all. Yeah. Only for the story. I mean, in my case, I get to relive a moment.
Exactly.
No, absolutely not.
You know, you hear performers.
Thank you for that.
You hear performers talk a lot about being just a channel, like you were just talking about, Alia. Did you experience that too, Gigi? Being a channel, and what does that feel like? Tell me about that.
I feel like I get to that place probably about 2/3 of the way in. And it's like all you said, the words just come spilling out. You almost are tripping over the words. They're coming out so fast. And I want to touch on something that Alia brought up a second ago. And in the stories coming out differently every time, and then something you brought up with the audience, what I have found with each telling, I learned in public speaking, you look everybody in the eye and you give everybody a moment of measure. You share eye contact with everybody and you include everybody in your story and what's happening. And my story, it will be absorbed by or bounce off of people depending on whether I see judgment or pity or joy or tears or whatever. And so wherever I'm at in my story, the expression or someone else's body language can completely ping it in an unexpected way. Hmm. And that's not so much channeling, but it's definitely being in the moment and being in that flow state where you're just super responsive to what's happening around you, and your story comes out differently, but the same story, different elements of it come out. And if I can add one more thing to that, in that process, there's a lot of unpacking that happens, because we're talking each story, you're talking about kind of primarily one event. And a lot of people say there are two sides to the story. Good Lord, there are infinite sides to a story.
Well said.
And when we tell it to a different audience in a different situation, you learn so much more about your own experiences. It's freaking cathartic.
And considering it's a 7-minute story, so this moves quickly. Mm-hmm. We're not telling a life biography. So it's 6-7 minute stories. And that's what also adds to the movement and the pace and the excitement of the evening. It's just moving right along.
Huh. Well, let's spend the last minute we have together with a bit of the prosaic details. Tomorrow evening, at True Nature, what time?
6 p.m. The house will open at 5:30. If you buy your tickets online tonight, it's $5 cheaper. On the event section on True Nature's website. It'll be $15 at the door. Show will start on time at 6 o'clock. And the storytellers we have are Genevieve and Patrick, Gregory Pickrell, Lynn Alia, Wewa Cohane, and Mike Marolt. So we have a very diverse lineup. It will be juicy fine dining on life experiences, 5-star dining, really. So come hungry.
Gourmet storytelling tomorrow night over at True Nature. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks. And thanks, Katie and Kay, for all you do to support, give the arts a voice like Alia is doing. Thank you.
You're so welcome. It's a pleasure to have people like you guys come in and talk about this kind of thing. It's fascinating. I could do it forever. Let's do it forever.
You've done it forever, haven't you?
Well, we won't go there. All right, stay with us. There is more to come on today's Express Yourself. Is the Rail Splitters. Wow, they have some chops, which I guess they need to have if they call themselves the Rail Splitters. Chop, chop.
Split, split.
The Rail Splitters play in our valley tomorrow at Wild Fest and next month at Mountain Fair. Wild Fest is a celebration of wild lands and local efforts to conserve them. And the event is one of Wilderness Workshop's signature fundraisers. And it returns to Woody Creek tomorrow. And here to tell us about it are the executive director of Wilderness Workshop, Sloan Shoemaker. Welcome back.
Thank you, Luke. It's always a pleasure.
Justin Patrick, the communications director, is here too. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Luke. Thanks again.
This one sounds really great because it's Owl Farm.
Oh, yeah. It's Owl Farm. It's such a treat to be at Owl Farm. I mean, it's legend, right? And Anita Hunter's widow has been so generous with us to accommodate us there, and she really loves and supports the work we do, so we're flattered that we get a chance. It's actually the only public event that she does on the property there, so we're pretty flattered and honored that she does it for us.
Was it there last year?
It was there last year. It's her second year.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not the second Wild Fest, is it?
No, the first one was at the Flying Dog Ranch up in Woody Creek. That's in right. 2013, I think.
Yeah.
And it has an interesting history. We used to have sort of a membership picnic and kind of a potluck thing, and it was kind of low-key, and that was fun for what it was. And then after a while, it kind of ran its course, and we decided we need something that has more outreach and it's more fun. And this kind of hoedown style event emerged, and we called it Wild Fest, and this is our fifth year or something, sixth year. I forget what it is, but it's fun, folks. And I'm going to correct one thing you said. You said it's our signature fundraiser. It's actually not a fundraiser. It's more of a friend raiser. We try to keep the prices low so it's affordable, and so we get people coming in and just having fun with us and celebrating our public lands and building community around that. It's mm-hmm. That's really important to do, because especially in these times, we need to get people together and raise voices for those things that we support. And our community is so devoted to public lands that surround us here that we try to be as inclusive as possible. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's get to some of the specifics, Justin. There's, you still have some tickets available, I guess.
Tickets are still on sale. Okay. You can pick them up at wildernessworkshop.org /wildfest or give us a call at the office, 963-3977. Although it's getting close to closing time on a Friday, so go ahead and buy them online. But, you know, like Sloan said, we really strive to keep this event affordable, family-friendly. We want you to come, bring your kids. GA tickets are $45. I mean, that is so much bang for your buck here in the Valley. You know, we've got three live musical acts. We've got on-site fresh food and drink. We've got a kids zone, which is going to be fully manned, so you can drop your kids off and not have to worry about it. We have a live art creation. Muralist Eliza Rogan is going to be out there creating live art. We've got a social media activism tent. We've got T-shirts and hats, as you can see I'm wearing, and all sorts of goodies. So there's plenty to do. There's everybody's invited, and this truly is a community celebration of public lands and a real fun time.
The band's playing. We just heard from your headliner, the Rail Splitters. Who else do you have playing?
Yeah, well, we've got co-headliners, so that's one of them. Then we've got World's Finest out of Portland, Oregon, and they are absolutely fabulous as well. Different sound, but also very enthusiastic and just will keep you on your feet. They have an excellent saxophonist. I was listening to them earlier today, and they can rock out. So got back-to-back awesome live music.
Wow.
And let's not forget Carbondale's own Perlin Wood. Yeah, opens it up. So they're a lovely, delightful, local flavored band.
Well, I loved the description of World's Finest. Their music seamlessly transition into three-dimensional psytrance, funk, and dub soundscapes.
Get down.
Sounds like something Hunter Thompson might have written.
Well, there we go. Yeah. How
about that? If that doesn't create happy feet, I don't know what is going to.
And you said the food. Tell me about the food that's available.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got Slow Groovin' Barbecue. And, I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that's just the best barbecue I've ever had. It's amazing. They're going to have their food truck on site. And we've got the Sled by ASC. That's the catering company for Aspen Skiing Company. And we're going to have lots of veggie options, lots of delicious fresh food, good sides, all that good stuff. And I think they're doing like single serving tacos and stuff like that as well. So you can kind of snack as you go as well if that's the way you want to do it. And we've got beverages from Sopris Liquor and Wine. We've got beer from Aspen Brewing Company. We try to keep the drink prices real affordable, $5-6 for drinks. So come have a good time.
And that's possible because of Sopris Liquors and Wine's sponsorship, man. They have been so generous with us and donating a lot of this stuff. So it makes it work for everybody.
Nice.
So thanks, Kiko.
I guess you actually have a deluxe ticket, too, that gets you some free drinks. Is that correct?
We do. And I was not going to mention that because I thought we had sold out just a few minutes ago, but I've learned that we have a few more of those left.
Okay.
That's the Gonzo ticket. It's a sweet package. It will get you on-site parking, which is nice. It gets you a wristband with 5 free drink tickets, and it also grants you the ability to walk up to our merchandise table and select anything you want and walk away with it. So it's a fun package, and we just have maybe 10 or 15 more of those left.
And speaking of tickets left, last year we sold out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were bummed because, you know, in this valley, we wait to the last minute to make our plans. And they did that, and they lost out. So, folks, we're probably going to sell out again this year. So don't be that one standing at the gate with your empty hands.
Okay. I guess parking is a little bit problematic. Is that correct? You're encouraging, providing a shuttle.
Yeah, we've got shuttles running every 5 minutes. So it's there's directions on our website. It's Hunter Thompson's place, but you basically head up to the Woody Creek Community Center, and then you head up that road, and there will be volunteers. There will be plenty of signage. You'll be directed to the correct parking area, and then there's shuttles running every 5 minutes up until the venue closes. So
yeah, it's problematic. It's not the right word. It's just off-site. It's at the community school.
Okay.
Thanks to the community school for sharing their space with us. But the shuttles are provided to us by the Aspen Skiing Company. Thanks again, Aspen Skiing Company, for that. And running every 5 minutes, so it's very little inconvenience to folks, and it works really well and helps respect Anita's property, so we don't have cars all over it.
Kind of nice to gather the tribe, isn't it?
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it is. And it's so needed now, you know. That
yes.
We need to put our arms around each other and share the and talk about those things that are important to us. We share common values, and we all love public lands. No matter how you experience them or use them, we share that common love of public lands. And there are some existential threats to public lands right now. Like the very idea of selling them off and privatizing them and no trespass signs is real. And you know, that's in legislation before state legislatures and in Congress, our national Congress. So, you know, this is all about bringing the tribe together, raising our voices, and support what we love.
And in that vein, Sloan, we've actually got a special guest speaker. That's Michael Brune, the executive director of the Sierra Club. He was actually out at our, we had a dinner the other night on Wednesday, and he was there and gave some remarks that were just, you know, raised the hair on the back of my head, and yeah, it was good stuff. So he's going to be speaking from the stage, and of course, Wilderness Workshop will be out there. We'll have a booth out there. Our board's going to be taking turns answering questions, interfacing with the public. If you'd like to learn more about the work that we're doing, come on by. We'd love to talk.
And you know what? And even if none of that matters to you, it's going to be a good party. And so just show up and have fun.
Indeed. Yeah, exactly. Wildernessworkshop.org is where to go for tickets.
There you
right?
go. Thanks.
Yeah. And Luke, do you mind if I just thank our sponsors?
Please do.
Because they really do make this possible. So I'd like to give a big shout out to, and we have mentioned some of these, but Sober Slicker and Wine, Alpine Bank, Aspen Brewing Company, Suerte Tequila, Gonzo Nation, Bristlecone Mountain Sports, Reese Henry and Company, Blue Periodontics, Bill Sterling at Douglas Elliman Real Estate, The Aspen Times, True Nature Healing Arts, Aspen Sojourner, Eagle Crest Nursery, Carbondale Arts Stripped All Natural Drink Mixers, which will be in those delicious tequila drinks we'll be serving. So thank you all to our wonderful sponsors, and we'll see you on Saturday. That's tomorrow.
Well, and thank you guys for the efforts that you're making in that arena. It's much appreciated.
You're welcome. And, you know, we couldn't do it without the community support that fills our sails, so to speak. So yeah. Thank you, community.
All right. Stay with us. It's 4:37. You're listening to the Express Yourself Show. Old Souls, Calling Old Souls, coming up next on Express Yourself. Thank you. that's Marty Stewart and his fabulous superlatives with Fantasma del Toro from his new CD, Way Out West. Marty and his band, the best country band in the USA, as far as I'm concerned, plays the Ute Theater in Rifle on Thursday, July 13th, and you can get tickets and information at utetheater.com. Well, our next guests on today's Express Yourself are Callin' Old Souls, a new local band who plays next week at the Black Nugget on Wednesday, July 5th. We have with us Cody Lee on the banjo and the cello.
Hello.
William Steindler is here too. Hi, William.
Hello.
And Kenna Crapton also.
Hey there.
So how in the world did Callin' Old Souls come together?
It's a tank, I guess, is the short answer.
But that's an all-encompassing answer right there.
Yeah, it really is.
The tank is like the universe.
We were neighbors last summer.
Yeah,
we were neighbors, and I was playing on the porch, and as I did for, you know, quite often for the 4 years we lived at that spot in Satank, and Cody saw me playing one day, and we've just been kind of playing together ever since, and then Kenna started singing with us about a year ago. Yeah. So, yeah, we're just kind of trying to figure it out a little bit at a time.
Front porch music.
Yeah,
yeah. In Satank. Yeah. Or is it back porch?
No, it's the back porch. Yeah.
It's the back porch.
Wherever the shade is.
That's for sure. Is that because your music is hot?
Yeah, it's on fire sometimes.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Well, every once in a while, it depends. Sometimes they're slow. They're usually sad, whether it's slow or it's fast.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. We just try to gain inspiration a lot of the times just through other people's stories and their, whether that's at home or beyond.
I think William is a top-notch singer-songwriter, and I realized that after the first song he just read out to me off of a piece of notebook paper, you know, and these guys, they left in the winter for a while. I was kind of sad to not have friends to play with, but
that's right. You were seeking your fame and fortune in Nashville, yeah, weren't you?
But getting some experience at some classic old venues, I'd say.
Yeah, we played. Our favorite was playing in Luckenbach in the Pick and Circle down there.
Oh,
and we'd stick
that
around after the Pick and Circle and do a little busking. We asked the guys at the bar, we were like, where's the best place to busk around Austin? And they said, Luckenbach, right here, before the band shows up.
Yeah, before the band shows up.
Oh, so you were on stage or out in front?
Yeah, it was actually just a...
in the bar.
It's in the bar, and it's a really small, kind of intimate setting. And you just kind of like, you're actually like, when you're playing, you're sitting right next to the... some of the people, you know, the customers that are in there drinking and listening. So it's
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
I was there once, and it was a one room place.
Yeah,
just a big square.
Isn't there like a wood stove in the middle?
There's
or something?
A wood stove in the middle, yeah, and then a bar that is around the wood stove.
When there's a bar, and then there's the dance hall where the big names play, like
Chris Knight,
and the band of Heathens, and
those are the headliners.
Yeah.
Huh. And blazing downtown Luckenbach, is it still dusty? And
it's still dusty. They've definitely preserved the spirit of it for sure. And my hat's off to them for that, because it's still a population of about 3 people, you know. And they just...
Amazing.
You know, I think they turned the post office into a gift shop, but you could tell who the tourists are and who the regulars are, because all the regulars are going in the back door, and that leads to the bar, and all the tourists are going into the post office, which is the gift shop now.
Yeah.
So the locals are the back door men.
How about that?
Huh. Well, you have your instruments, Cody on the banjo, William on guitar and harmonica, and Ken on the harmony vocals. Let's hear a tune or two.
All right, yeah, this one, we call this one Uncle Ray, and it's about an affair on the Colorado River. It was going to be about a murder, but then my sister asked me to write a lighter song, so I made about affair instead.
Lighter subject.
Dragging that river for Uncle Ray, 'cause he ain't been home in 3 days. On his fishing boat, they found an empty Colorado.
gonna tell Ray's young wife he may not be home tonight. She works the late shift just down the street for too little pay and 2 miles to feed. For too little pay and 2 miles to feed. Just on show, her husband died 2 years before. She melts his heartaches and welts his lies between the hinges of hell and them gates of pie. Between the hinges of hell and them gates of pie. Drive. It ain't left there since her husband died. There's fresh skid marks on a county road behind a highway of two lost souls. Behind a highway of two lost souls. His lies between the hinges of hell and them gates of pie. Between the hinges of hell and them gates of pie.
That's sounding good. Thanks. Is that an that's an original tune?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Do you guys only do original tunes?
Yeah.
Mostly.
Really?
That's all we're good at.
We'll do a few covers at the Nugget.
I don't know if we're good at it.
William writes all the lyrics and the guitar to every song, and then Cody does what he does.
Yeah.
Improves it with the cello or banjo or mandolin.
Well, those are some really tasty banjo fills on that one, Cody.
Yeah.
So
we'll
now
keep them around for sure.
Yeah, Cody can pick up anything with strings and make it sound good.
So. Yes, yeah. I've noticed that about him, yeah. So now he's picking up the cello.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I was hearing a lot of, I was thinking, how's he getting that percussive effect on that guitar? But then I looked over there and you've actually got a little, like, bass kick drum.
Yeah, we got this drum in Delta at the Meeker Mercantile. And it's actually... This drum is named after the song because the drum I found, there's initials on it, R-E-H. So Cody said, oh, it's called Ray. So we've called the drum Ray.
But it's actually a suitcase or something, right?
Yeah, it's a suitcase.
So it's sort of like, who's that guy? Shaky Graves.
He
started off doing that.
Yeah, for sure, the one-man band.
Yeah, he went rock and roll on us. But,
Yeah.
He's still pretty good. And it's nice because we can carry like our tambourine and harmonicas and stuff inside it. So
exactly. It's practical for sure.
Well, that sounds really good. So, who are your songwriting heroes? You have to tell me that because I hear a lot of I hear a little bit of. I hear a little bit of Towns in there.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely an inspiration, Towns for sure, and probably. Yeah, Guy Clark and John Prine, but definitely Towns. He's either a bad influence or a really good influence.
Yeah.
I can't tell yet.
He's a great influence in a songwriter way, but maybe not a great influence in a personal
way. In terms
way.
Of lifestyle, yeah.
You know.
Luke, I have to say one of my favorite things about playing music with these guys is that pretty much the only two covers that we ever play are by Towns Van Zandt
Serious?
And Guy Clark, which are pretty much my favorite singer-songwriters. So.
Yeah. And Gillian Welch.
And Gillian Welch, of course.
Yeah. Well, there's that one line by Guy Clark that I always remember, the tornado that can blow the tattoo off your arm.
Yeah, that's
just so descriptive.
Yeah,
I love that. Good. Well, let's before we have to let you go, I'd like to hear another tune.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to play. This one's called The Devil and the Mare. It's about holding on to a little piece of yourself no matter what. Heading down to the railway station, I burn my hand shaking with Satan. I ain't never looking back. Caught the locomotive to the next town. I sold my soul for the luck I found. Just a pistol and a gunny sack. And I used that pistol once or twice more to save my ass in a coward's fight. And I got 3 shots left. And no luck can afford a bet on a train, so I jump an empty boxcar again. Settle into loneliness. I ain't got no regrets, cause I ain't got no soul. The tears that well in me, well, that's the devil's ghost. Yeah, I know that someday I'll feel all my pain. Cause the devil said in hell, son, you'll find your soul again. Well, the train stopped short cause the rail had busted, so I stole a mare from the stock car and hustled towards my certain death. Yeah, I shot twice at the stock car's wrangler, went through a window and into a stranger, left behind another mess. Wandered through the desert where we suffered, me and the mare, we had no water and only 1 shot to spare. Well, that horse collapsed there on the ground, and there was something inside me the devil had not found. For I gave the last shot to the mare. Few regrets in this sliver of my soul. The tears that well in me, well, that's my father's ghost. Yeah, I know that someday I'll feel all my pain. Cause the devil said in hell, son, you'll find your soul again. Now I wander this devil's ocean with a sliver of my soul. I hope that mare, she's up in heaven while I suffer down here below.
That's Calling Old Souls playing live here at KDNK and playing over at the Black Nugget on Wednesday. That's not your first gig, local gig, is it? Or is it?
We played at the Roaring Fork Beer Company when they were over on Dolores Way.
Oh, that's right.
Steve's guitars a few times.
So. Oh, you have?
But this is our first show since we've been back.
Okay.
Well, we did a Senior Matters thing.
Yeah. Nice. So now do you guys plan to do some recording here pretty soon?
Yeah, that's the plan. Maybe this winter, you know, we'll buckle down and do some recording.
That's our goal, Luke.
Yes. We keep talking about it.
Actually make a whole album by, like, next spring.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we're going to turn a spot over at Insatank, hopefully into a recording studio.
Nice.
That's the plan.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, you got to take baby steps.
Exactly.
But the songs are there.
Thank you.
The songs are there.
Really appreciate that.
Yeah, now you just have to, you know, keep working on it.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's all about refining it now, and, you know, keeping it reining it in, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Calling old souls. You have another chance to catch them over there at the Black Nugget next Wednesday. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Thank you. Come out and have fun with us at the Nugget on Wednesday.
Yay. Yeah,
if you're not still recovering from the fourth.
Thanks, Luke.
Actually, that might be a crucial part of recovery.
Yeah. Right?
As long as you stay by the door and not a little further in. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That brings to the end another Express Yourself. Thanks for listening. Let's go out with another little tidbit from Marty Stewart. And please remember to go out there and express yourself.